If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, as we know, a few weeks ago, we saw the appointment of South Africa's cabinet, key leaders who have essentially been elected to drive the policy outlay, create a conducive environment for South Africa's economy to thrive. And over the last few weeks, we've been speaking to key leaders of the economic cluster. Last week, we spoke to Minister of Small Business and Enterprises, Minister Stellan Dabeni-Abrahams. And today, we're going to take a look at a key cluster that in itself helps South Africa foster positive trade relations with international counterparts and industrialize our economy. That is the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Competition, taking a look at the master plan implementation. For that, we join on the line by Deputy Minister of the Department, the DTIC, Deputy Minister Zuko Godlimbi. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Deputy Minister.
Thank you for having me, Gugu.
Exciting to speak to you. And I guess, firstly, congratulations on your appointment. A fantastic portfolio that you are certainly taking care of. And I can imagine maybe that's a good starting point for us just to evaluate, you know, the opportunity to continue with a level of consistency in some of the policy, but also implementing new structures that will hopefully revitalize the industrialization of South Africa's economy. Where are we at the moment as the DTIC on this path?
Well, as you correctly say, Gugu, a lot of work has been done over the years by the DTIC. So we're building on that foundation that has been laid by our predecessors. And one of the major achievements of the previous term that we're going to build on the basis of was the finalization of master plans, which really are, as part of industrial policy, sort of sectoral compacts between business, the state and labor on how to really recalibrate the performance of those sectors of the economy as part of the broad approach of building a vibrant industrial strategy that can improve output performance in the South African economy. So that's what we are inheriting. Our task now is to try and synchronize the operations of these master plans so that they can feed into a broad and visible operational national industrial plan overall. And that's the work that we are doing. We've been here for a week. We've met with the departmental officials. We've met with the agencies, including today, with a day-long strategic session with the entire group, including NEF, ITC, and all the branches of the DTIC, to try and find a workable framework of getting these master plans into action.
Yes. And I think this is such an important point, right? Because you've also worked your way through various structures before your appointment as deputy minister. So you're aware of how national policy does have to have a ripple effect and a follow through into provincial structures as well as right down to municipalities. I'm keen to understand so far, just given your observations, if there are any backlogs that have been identified and in terms of your conversations and consultations, some proposed solutions that might have been suggested.
Incidentally, Gugu, I actually worked at the DTI itself 10 years ago, and I've worked at various other places in the state policy pipeline. So,
and beyond that, you're also well qualified in terms of politics, philosophy, and economics. So, you're quite the
exactly.
man for the job.
So, I have both the insider and the outsider perspective as I come into this job. But one of the main problems that the South African state policy pipeline has is the absence of transversal coordination, right, and policy articulation. And this is one of the issues that came out quite strongly in our conversation with the staff today, including the entities. Let me make a simple case in point. So one of the things that the DTI is now working on is the electric vehicles strategy, right? Mm-hmm. And this is because you have this global transition away from the combustion engine towards the renewable energy platform of electric vehicles with the battery capability. Now, one of the things you have is that this is the domain of the DTIC as the department responsible for industrial policy and also regulation of the industrial economy. But you also have the reality that the mandate relating to minerals in South Africa lies with a different department, right? Mm. So one of the key things that we're trying to get right is a transversal policy articulation that allows us to propose and get reforms in minerals policy that enables the electric vehicle processes to take off in South Africa, especially with battery manufacturing, because battery manufacturing for electric vehicles is reliant on what is called the critical minerals bouquet, and some of which are in South Africa, including manganese, some of which are in the the SADC region. So you are going to have a policy articulation that combines capabilities at DTIC, at Department of Minerals and Petroleum, at International Relations and Cooperation as well. So that's the sort of work that we're going to be focusing on to try build a really consistently articulate a policy pathway across the state sector. And the officials in the institution, including our own understanding from our experience in the state, are very much aware to the tendency of government departments to work in silos. But we do agree that we are going to have to force our way into convincing the rest of the state sector that policy coherence is going to be one of the major breaking points or winning points for the success of industrial policy.
100%. Deputy Minister, I'm so intrigued by that because it does speak to various streams of the economic cluster and enhancing that level of policy articulation, which is transversal. And this also brings me to a point that was raised by the DTIC a few years ago to actually bolster the number of black industrialists in South Africa. It's one thing to adequately use our mineral resources, but we also need to empower our people. And there's been a strong level of criticism around the success of the black industrialist policy. And I'm assuming, again, keeping with the theme of transversal policy articulation, this speaks to small business development, even, I guess, National Treasury and other aspects to ensure that we capitalize and support businesses and industrialization, specifically when it comes to transformation in South Africa. Has that process and conversation taken place just yet? Are there solutions that have been proposed?
Very, very central to the entire conversation, Kuku. And as I was saying, my work at the DTIC 10 years ago, well, actually related to the Black Industrialist Program itself. So that's the period when we brought it into the system. Mm-hmm. Now, the DTIC has three strategic areas of focus. It's industrialization, it's transformation, it's building a capable state capabilities at the level of policy development, coordination, and implementation. And the transformation element has, on its own, three parts. It has the transformation in the demographic outlook of access to capital and control of productive assets. The second one is spatial transformation, so that South Africa is not, it doesn't continue with the historically evolved concentration of industrial activity in a few metropolitan centers. And the third one, of course, is then the transformation of the productive sectors of the economy away from a very extractive economy that exports a lot of raw minerals, but towards a robust manufacturing and beneficiation value chain. Now, in that context, the Black Industrialist Program aimed to achieve two things simultaneously. Achieve, firstly, the promotion of the participation of the historically marginalized people as asset owners, as asset managers, and asset controllers. And here, by asset management, I'm not referring to financial assets as the conversation usually does, but in industrial assets, so to speak. That's the first. The second one was, if you are to have a robust manufacturing sector, it has got to be built on the basis of SMMEs, right? Mm-hmm. So the Black Industrialist Program goes two ways: is to build these black owners of industrial assets, but also then have an SMME-dominated manufacturing base. So that's exactly what the conversation is about. And in our conversation with the department already, we've had to think about how we combine the DTIC incentive schemes, which is the Black Industrialist scheme on the one hand, but also the mandate of the Industrial Development Corporation, the mandate of the NEF, as synchronized support mechanisms that can help us improve the not just the numerical growth of the Black Industrialists, but also their market share in the manufacturing space. So that's a conversation that is very much vibrant, and it's almost like the centerpiece of the discussion that we're having about improving this transversal coordination and impact assessment of our initiatives and programs. And one of the issues related to that at the transversal level of the state is to then pose the question, how much support is offered by other government departments towards industrial policy? By this, I make the point that You know, the South African state has a huge capital budget that it disposes of every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the key issue is about the coordination of that public expenditure to be part of the empowerment system that you want to have for these black industrialists as well. So you do want to then have a conversation about enforcing set asides, not yes. just for the private sector, but even for the state sector as well, that a large chunk of your procurement must be designed to support the performance of your industrial policy initiatives, such as the Black Industrialist Program and the master plans that I was talking about earlier on.
100%. Deputy Minister, outside of the automotive industry, are there other sectors of the economy that will be prioritized in terms of industrialization as well as trade?
Many, many of them. You know, what makes the automotive sector to be the preeminent one, of course, is because of the history of the development of the manufacturing sector in South Africa. And it was anchored mostly around the automotive sector in one part, but there's also the steel and metal fabrication industry as well that we're paying attention to. There is also, you know, the commercial forestry sector one as well. We also have the poultry sector as well that we're focusing on. But if you think about the broad manufacturing value chain that we are focusing on, the discussion about the EVs, yes, it is primarily related to the auto sector, but that has to do with the existence already of a global market that is ready to absorb that. But what we are looking at as well is positive externalities from a skills development point of view that can be moved away from the auto sector to other sectors of the economy that are related to manufacturing. But your steel and metal fabrications is going to be a major centerpiece of that. Minerals beneficiation broadly, not just for the sake of the auto sector, is another area of the manufacturing value chain that we are looking at. And there is also, of course, the obvious conversation about South Africa has a huge deficit in its rail infrastructure. We've heard yes. about problems at Transnet. We've heard about problems at Prasa that are related to our rail networks, right? So part of that, if you are to overcome that 15-year investment deficit in rail infrastructure, it provides a huge opportunity for the steel sector as well as another anchor point for manufacturing. But there's also the conversation currently about our energy security as well. So mm-hmm. another dimension of manufacturing that we're venturing into is renewable energy capabilities. But there's also the fact that South Africa has a 14,000 kilometer deficit on our transmission lines. And that deficit is what makes it difficult for us to onboard a lot of the renewable energy that has been built now. So as part of that 14,000 kilometer transmission line rollout that Eskom is going to be pursuing, the DTICC is again an opportunity for additional manufacturing capability in just the infrastructure that will be required at that level. So there are multiple subsectors of the manufacturing value chain that we are focusing on and we will be focusing on going forward.
100%. Deputy Minister, you have my confidence given the capabilities and the themes that you've highlighted, but it would be remiss of me not to ask a politically inclined question given the frustration that many South Africans might share and given the leadership within your department as a Deputy Minister. We are aware that perhaps they might not, you come from different political parties. Is there an area of alignment and an understanding of these key sectors and key policies that you look to roll out as representative of the GNU?
You know, I think South Africans have historically overstated their differences. If there's one thing that this experience of working with the Deputy Minister Andrew Whitfield has taught us, right?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, he so happens to come from the Eastern Cape as well.
Ah, so he's a homeboy.
He's a homeboy. He's from Gqeberha. So I spent a couple of years at Gqeberha. So we do have intersecting perspectives on our understanding of industrial problems, because if you know, Gqeberha is one of the epicenters of our auto hub in South Africa.
Yes.
So it's a very vibrant manufacturing city. So he has a good understanding of those problems. So at that level, we have shared perspectives. And we also have a mutual appreciation of South Africa's complicated position in global trade, you know, linkages
yes.
and value chains, and that we've got to build a dynamic and resilient economy if we are to survive the transformations that are happening in the global industrial economy. So at that level, we are common on what priorities must be set. So it's been quite a pleasant journey working with him. He's quite an insightful and determined chap as well. And both Minister Parkstow and I have found him to be a very resourceful person that we are looking forward to work with going forward. And this camaraderie is actually playing out in other departments as well. You've seen, someone was joking on social media, looking at the photos of Minister Soli, Malatsi, and Deputy Minister Montlhekungu Bele, that they actually look like father and son, you know, because they tend to dress the same, although they come from different political parties, but they've been wearing suits that look alike. And that shows a shared determination to make this arrangement work in the interest of South Africans and in the interest of progress and prosperity for all.
100%. Deputy Minister, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you and appreciative of the insight that you've given us. And of course, clarity and confidence that you've also instilled in understanding that the progress and positive prospects of South Africa's economy remain the priority. I'm looking forward to touching base with you in future to see how these policies are implemented, rolled out and successful outcomes attained. Thank you so much, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Kuku.
Thank you. Siyabonga kakhulu. That's Deputy Minister of the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, Deputy Minister Zuko Godlimbi, giving us some insight into some clarity around this key ministry when it comes to the finance or rather economic cluster of South Africa's cabinet.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.